Morning in our Bibles, Isaiah chapter 48. Heavenly Father, bless in the preaching of your word again. I pray, Lord, even as this is a teaching sermon, more than preaching this morning, pray that we'd learn and we'd rejoice in what you do, Lord, in our lives. May we accept what you bring into our lives as well. Bless in the teaching and preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 48, I call your attention to one verse to start this morning. It says, behold, in verse 10. Everybody got verse 10 open? Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The furnace of affliction. God says the way we get refined is by going through a process through a furnace. Are there things in your life that you've had to go through and that you're going through even now? That isn't what you planned for. You didn't sign up for this, you know. You got affliction. You got pain. You have sickness within your life. And boy, when that comes into our lives, a lot of times we get out of the spirit. We get in the world spirit. We say, why, Lord? Why did this happen to me? This pain is unbearable. Why do I have this affliction? Well, we find out when we read the Word of God. He said in verse 10, he started right off saying, behold. In other words, he wants your attention. Behold, I have. So the Lord's behind this. I have refined thee. In other words, he's getting the bad stuff out of you, so the good stuff will be left behind. He refines us. He polishes us up. He cleans us up. He says, you're used to it being with silver, but that's not what I'm talking about. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Going through something that causes pain, causing agony in some Christians' lives. You've come down with some kind of a medical problem most of the time. It could be a loss. Loss of material things or a loss of family. Loss of a wife or a husband or a father, mother, children. Affliction, something that would, somebody that doesn't know the Lord, they'd have a big, hard time of that. And even Christians that take the counsel of the world have a hard time of it too. God uses this in your life. That affliction that you have. Nothing can happen outside of the will of God. If we follow the Lord and we're obedient unto Him, whatever comes into our life, we can be sure we can say, this is the will of God for me. Because usually it's our attitude toward what came into your life that is the problem. So it's important for us to understand that this morning. Let's turn to James, the book of James, chapter 5, right after Hebrews. Nobody likes to go through affliction. James chapter 5, verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and tender, of tender mercy. Affliction, even in the prophets, the men of God, the preachers of the Old Testament, they had to endure suffering affliction. Jesus used the word furnace. It means a confinement. It's inescapable. It's indescribable anguish. An iron furnace is used in the Old Testament about the Jews coming out of Egypt even. Deuteronomy 4:20 says, but the Lord hath taken you, speaking to his people, the Jews, and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Jeremiah 11:4, which I commanded you, your fathers, in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. 1 Kings 8:51. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. So God, over and over again, talks about suffering, pain, affliction with God's people. Egypt is always a picture of the world. We don't fall to what the world says. We don't live by fear. We live by faith. And so God is the one that's refining us when we go through our adversity, our pain. No one likes pain. Pain can get unbearable in different situations, under different circumstances. What's the oldest book in the Bible?
Job.
What does Job deal with? Adversity, pain, suffering. Why would God allow the oldest book, the first book that he ever put in Holy Writ, to deal with this subject I'm preaching on this morning?
Because
This is home ground. This is the basis of life. Rare the person that's going to go through life and not suffer in one way or another. Maybe with a disease, maybe with a loss. Military soldiers lose limbs, eyes, and so forth. You go through something. Boy, if you don't have the right attitude going through it, you're going to have a terrible time the rest of your life. So I'm showing you this morning how to have a right attitude in going through suffering, because you don't know about the suffering that's coming in the future for you. None of us do. Maybe some of you have taken care of people. Maybe your parents. Maybe other relatives. As they went through their suffering. And finally on to glory. Do you think anything good could happen out of affliction? You know, we're a free society. Nobody wants pain. But God says it's there for a purpose. There's nothing learned. Even parents, they try to spare their suffering for their children and so forth, so they don't correct them, they don't chastise them, they don't spank them, they don't hold them up and say, what are you doing? Make them accountable. They wouldn't want to spank them, that causes pain. Read the book of Proverbs. That's the best thing that kid can do. I'm not talking about abuse, I'm talking about chastisement. Little kids born come into this world as sinners. That's how we became sinners. We were born that way. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. John 3:18 tells you, you're condemned already. That's why you got to be born again, so you can have a second birth, so you aren't under condemnation. It all works together. But in our society, parents want to spare their kids hardships. Well, it's the hardships that make a strong people. The greatest generations that we talk about are those that went through World War II, World War I, all of the different kinds of things. All of the flus, the Spanish flu and so forth, there's at the start of World War I and all of this kind of stuff. They went through it, brother. They didn't believe the lies of the world. They toughed it out and went through it. A hardy people. The Jews are the same. 6 million Jews suffered in the Holocaust. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't vouch for that number because I wasn't there to count them one by one, okay? But they tell me that. I believe it. Hitler was a wicked man. And so because of that, God, it says here in Isaiah 48:1, and you'll see it in other verses, he uses that in our life. We got human bodies that are frail. They can be weak. That's why you're to take care of your body. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 6 tell you that you are not yourselves, you belong to God? that you're supposed to take care of. Try to eat the right things. Try to exercise. Try to do everything that would be normal in a normal body. And so when we abuse our bodies and then we come into suffering, Galatians 6:7 comes into the mix. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But God uses normal affliction that'll come into your life, and he proved it through Job. Let me read a little to you. It was an author, Don Baker. He had a book called Pain's Hidden Purpose. And he talks about the agony of Job as Job went through this. Job wasn't a bad guy either. You just read the first chapter of Job, you found out he didn't do anything wrong at all, but he lost everything that he had. Lost everything. Lost his family. A new pain began with an itch with Job. As Job awoke from restless sleep, he soon became aware that his body was inflamed with sores and an angry swelling, and the red spots that covered his flesh were hot and tender to the touch. They spread quickly over his entire body until he was covered with one universal boil that stretched from his head to his feet. His condition was so desperate, his appearance was so contemptible, his pain was so continual, his shame was so complete that his wife finally suggested that he kill himself. Many speculated as to just what Job's wife may have meant when she looked at all of that emaciated and blackened body and suggested that he and his suffering. Some see Job's wife at this point as hard and bitter and unconcerned for his relationship with God. But some see her as a sensitive, caring, concerned woman who loved Job and honored her commitment. No family could have enjoyed the oneness of Job's family shared if their mother had been calloused and cruel. But she was stretched. Weeks of suffering had passed without relief. Each morning she would wake up to the same pain, only to find that it had intensified. Each night she would pray for her husband's healing, but it never came. There was no medication, no Tylenol, no Percocet, no Demerol, no morphine to ease the pain, no Valium, not even aspirin to help him sleep. He looked so callous. Hideous, and his condition was so infectious that he was forced to move out. She could stand it no longer. In a moment of deep and frustrated anger, she suggested, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" It was more in that in the book too, but you read the book of Job and try to put yourself in his place. And that's the first book of the Bible, the oldest one. Dealing with suffering, dealing with adversity. Why would it come upon a man like Job? The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And here that everything was taken away, even his health. There was a doctor, a Christian doctor, called Phil Yancey. And he was 4 years in India. And he dealt with people with leprosy. And that leprosy, they had no pain. The one that he talks about is a man named Saddam. He had to reconstruct his hands, his feet, retrain his mind, control all the attachments, and they wept and they rejoiced together. They went both to a city of Matrix for his family reunion. And the house was just a dirt floor, nothing to even resemble a real place. He slept on a mat. And in the morning, he woke and his finger was bloody. A rat had bitten off his finger, but he couldn't feel it. He set up a trap that night and he stayed up to watch to catch that rat. But he had a lantern on the floor so he could see during the night, and he fell asleep and his hand fell into the lantern, but he didn't have any pain, and so he burned himself. Something wrong when you don't have pain. There is a rare disease called congenital insensitivity to pain and anhidrosis. CIPA, SIPA, is the rare disease. That's a dangerous disease because you can't tell when some danger is around you, doing something to you. God had our bodies with pain for our own good, to warn us. It's a warning mechanism. And so we have to go through pain sometimes. And that pain can protect us from sin sometimes. Sin and pain go together. Go to Psalm 119. See what it says. The book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 67. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. His affliction, whatever he had, he realized that God used that in his life, and now he's obeying the word of God. Look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And in verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou faithfulness has afflicted me. He learned about the suffering. Sometimes uses pain in our life to wake us up to maybe a sin that we have in our life, a wrong attitude toward it. Did you ever blame God for some things that wasn't God's fault at all? Actually, you can't blame God for anything because he's never done anything wrong. He's pure and holy. He uses that affliction within our life. Don't know what's going to happen to you, but God does, and God will use it. Job has 42 chapters, and it was all about why Job was suffering. He was in agony. He blotted out the loss of his family because of the pain. And then even his so-called friends came and made it worse and not better as he was afflicted and God was using it within his life, but he couldn't understand. You see, a lot of times we go through some pain, we can't understand. God is working. He works through this, my friends. He stopped asking God, and then he started worshiping. To consider the character of the Lord. You get the idea that God doesn't care? All of those kind of ideas, thoughts, are from Satan. They're not from God. Because God is using this one way or another, either in your life or your friends or relatives are looking on and seeing you go through that suffering. God will use it. Because he allowed it. It'll either drive you to God or atheism. One way or another. He always allows suffering to start at the head. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that as far as the church, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Which man suffered on this earth more than Job did? The Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered like no man ever suffered. Because the weight of all of the sins of the world were brought upon him on that cross. What was his response? Father, forgive them. For they don't know why I'm suffering. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know there's a purpose behind this. They don't know that millions and millions of people are going to be saved and go to heaven because I'm going through this suffering, pain and anguish. That's the way the Lord paid for your salvation. Through pain. Through affliction, a furnace of affliction. He's the head of the body, so he got the pain first. Now we go through some pain within our lives as well. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This wasn't just a man on that cross. This was Christ. This was God in flesh. Going through the pain for your salvation. And we take it so lightly, boy, we just want our way. And I'm not going to go through this. I don't feel like it. I'm not going to sweat. I'm not going to work hard. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to be a good example. I'm not going to dress to be a good example to others. I'm not going to do all of this. You don't remember the pain that he went through on that cross for you. We should be ashamed of ourselves. James 5:11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of mercy. Isaiah 53, if you would please. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 tells a little of the crucifixion of the Lord, the Messiah. In verse 3, you pick it up and it says, "He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." Jesus, born in a manger, born into poverty. What was he born to finally do? Go through great pain. He eased other people's pain in his ministry. He healed them. The lame walked. The dead rose. He was life in flesh. He had to die. Of those three that were crucified that day, he had to die first before the other two died. Because nobody in the Bible died in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because he's life. If he's around you, you're coming to life. You see it through every one of his miracles. That's why he was the first fruits of the resurrection as well. Love and pain on top of pain and love. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Book of Hebrews chapter 2. Important subject that we're looking at this morning. I wish a couple others that are normally here that are going through pain, there's a good message for them. That all of us have some kind of pain within our life. My wife goes through pain. She can't get up the stairs and everything. Got Vivian. Praise God for Vivian. She'll come up those stairs and come to church. Jane, she takes care of her 24/7 through her pain and everything as well. Yeah, we all get older. I'll be old one day. Yeah. 78 isn't old. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 18. "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Succor is an old English word and means help. He's able to help us because he was already tempted before us and he suffered through that. He was tempted of the devil in Matthew 4, the first thing before he even did any of his ministry. He started his ministry in suffering. Tempted to battle with the devil. Even Job said as he went through this, he didn't lose his faith in God. He was going to endure. In Job 23:10, he says, "When this is over, I'm going to come forth as gold." Wow. That's why God made that the first book to put in his Bible. pain can unite. I've seen families that wouldn't talk to one another or anything else, and somebody goes through great pain of something, and those come to help in some way or another. I've seen churches that have burnt down or destroyed by a tornado or whatever. It wasn't a good church before, but all of a sudden the people all rally and they come together and they rebuild that church. And the people that weren't speaking in each other, now they're loving and hugging each other. Suffering. God always uses it. He uses that to clean us up, to get our attention. I'm afraid too many of us don't understand it and we get bitter. I know some Christians that are like that. They wouldn't be in church to hear this. You got to see the suffering has a purpose. Who's the greatest Christian there in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul and his buddy Silas. And they were just doing what God told them to do, go out and preach. They got thrown in jail after they were whipped, beaten in Philippi, in the Philippian jailer. They went through that pain, those scars. Were they bitter at God? No, at midnight they sang. They lifted up their voice. They didn't care who heard them. Matter of fact, the louder they got, they wanted everybody to be woken up. They were singing, and all of a sudden, God got in the picture and he sang bass. It was so loud that the earthquake happened. And out of that pain and suffering, when all of the prisoners got out, Paul said, don't run away. And it was the Philippian jailer that said, what must I do to be saved? God used pain and suffering and injustice right before his eyes. He's the one that put the whip on him. Ungodly man. But it brought him to his knees. And all of the prisoners, he didn't lose one of them. Not only did he get saved on the spot, his family got saved the same night, and they were all baptized together the same night. And the jailer opened up his house, and Paul and Silas came in and ate meat. Had a dinner at 3:00 in the morning. Amen. Praise God. God can use adversity in your life. He can use all of these things. He uses pain. It's interesting, and I'm going to close here in a second, although I'd love to keep on preaching, but I know you can't stand it. You can't take too much more, amen. At least your backside can't. Isn't it interesting? In Revelation chapter 21, when we're up in heaven, it says God's going to wipe away all tears. And there will be no more pain. Last time the word pain is used in the Bible. You remember these things. Next time you have to go through pain for something. I've had different pains and in my life, different times, as a boy, as a man. God uses it to get our attention. If you're a Christian, I would not tempt God. He uses infirmity. You go play fast and loose. You don't come to church. You make excuses for not being in church. Flimsy. You just don't want to. You've allowed the world to creep in your heart and your soul. God can use that pain. God can use that adversity. God can use that suffering. I don't know about you, but I don't want to tempt God. I want to be one of His children that obey Him. I want to keep close to God. I don't want to be bitter against God. Just two scriptures and we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and in verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The first book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter is about suffering. And he writes those words. Last verse, to your left a few pages, you come to James. James chapter 1 and in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Lots of things can come into our lives in these 70, 80, 90, 101 years that we live down here. A lot of things can happen. No matter what comes into your life, you know that God's behind that for your good. You can't see it now. You'll be able to see it later. I pray that you apply what you've learned this morning, what the Holy Spirit has done within your heart. That you'll be ready. You'll have understanding and wisdom when it does come into your life. And give God praise for everything that happens. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless, Lord, each one that will apply the message to their heart. Help us to be a strong people, not fearful. Help us to be afraid of nothing, only you. May the fear of God rule within our hearts, because there's love in that kind of fear. Help us, Lord, to stand for you in these last days. Bless each one. May we do business with you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.